sang that song, did you pay attention to the message of the words? See, because here's the bottom line. Without Jesus, you may enjoy life on this earth for a little while, for a season, a matter of fact. But without Jesus, all that awaits you is hell. But with Jesus, your time here on this earth is short, but you have eternal life with Jesus if He is your Savior. I can't emphasize enough this morning, young people, middle-aged, older people, decrepit people like myself, I can't emphasize enough that you must choose Jesus now, because it's going to be too late one day. You're not going to be able to make that choice any longer. And today can be the day of decision. Who are you going to choose today? Jesus or the things of this world? Hebrews chapter number 11, I want to look at someone who chose Jesus. Took him quite a while to choose Jesus, but he did. And when he did, it changed his life, and it changed the nation, and it changed the world forever. Hebrews chapter number 11, we're going to look at verse number 23. We're going to refer back and forth to this passage. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, this chapter is referred to as the Hall of Faith. It says chapter 11, verse 23, it says, by faith, underline that, circle that word, those two words, by faith, because everything's got to be by faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Father, thank you for your word, the music we've heard already, but I thank you most importantly that we have a Savior who is alive. We have a Savior who has promised us eternal life by trusting Him. And I'm asking you this morning, by faith, we will choose Jesus. By faith, we will choose to follow and acknowledge and obey what you have taught us. And Father, for those souls this morning that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, for those souls who are deciding even this morning to follow Him or not, may they choose to follow Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. In the precious name of Jesus, I ask this. Amen. Most of us know the story. In case you're not familiar with the story, Moses was a Hebrew born to the Jewish people, the Hebrew people in Egypt. They were stuck and they were under bondage. Joseph and his family had come over during the horrible drought and came and reestablished in the famine and reestablished the Hebrew race in Egypt. But it got to the point where the Pharaohs forgot about what Joseph did. And so now over the years, the Israelites slowly became slaves of the Egyptians. And they were using them for everything, for labor, to build the pyramids and buildings and everything else. And generation after generation of Jewish people, Hebrews, did not know anything but slavery. The Pharaoh understood and realized that the Jewish people, they were expanding in a great number in his country. And he got afraid. He became very scared. And he said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pass a law that any Hebrew woman that has a son, he's going to be killed instantly. So when you hear, he told his guards, when you hear of a child being born, I want you to take a midwife and you tell that midwife that when she gets to that house to announce the birth of that child. And when that birth is announced, you instantly kill that child, because we don't want any more Hebrews in our land. They're overtaking us as it is. So when Moses' mom, Jochebed, however you want to pronounce it, I know I'm not pronouncing it right. Well, when she had her child and she was getting ready to, have Moses, they hid him. And they had her daughter take her take him and put him in the river, and he floated. And we know the story that Pharaoh's daughter found him and adopted him into the family. But Pharaoh's daughter, realizing and understand that she couldn't raise the child and give him milk because she wasn't pregnant, she's not the one who had him, she said, I want you to go find a woman, a Jewish woman, who can take care of this child for me. And we all know how God works. There just so happened to be a mother who has milk to give the baby. The midwife goes and finds Moses' mom to feed Moses. And Pharaoh's daughter says, here, I want you to take him home. I want you to raise him up. I want you to get him strong enough. And then when he's old enough, send him back to the palace. So Moses was saved. His mama raised him. And as he was being raised, she was teaching him the things of God and the things of the Hebrews. But when Moses got old enough, he went to live with Pharaoh's daughter in the kingdom. And he was raised up with the best. He had all the money he needed. He had all the food he needed. He had all the education he needed. But deep inside, he knew there was something different about him than all the other Egyptians. He even was dressed like an Egyptian. He was taught to speak Egyptian. He was told that he was going to be in high command at one time when he got old enough. So Moses, as he got old enough and was being trained as an Egyptian, he didn't think about his Hebrew family because, as a matter of fact, he was kept away from them. And I could just see as he was standing in the palace and looking over the land, hearing the cries of his people and seeing the Jewish people enslaved and seeing all these things going on. But he didn't really care because he had everything he needed. One day, as he left and he was walking, he saw a fellow Hebrew being beaten by an Egyptian. And something inside of Moses changed. He was up close and personal, and he saw this Hebrew getting beat. And Moses had to make a decision. I can join in the beating. I can walk away from the beating, or I can step in and stop the beating. That's where you are this morning. You have to make a choice today. You can continue to participate in the beatings. You can choose to walk away and take care of yourself. Or you can say, I've had enough of following the world. I've had enough of choosing what the world wants. I've had enough of choosing what Satan wants. I'm going to choose to follow Jesus. Brothers and sisters, where are you this morning? It's obvious where other people are this morning, but where are you this morning? Would you rather have Jesus, or would you rather have the world? Now, I'm not telling you the world ain't fun. Sin is fun. It's enjoyable. It is pleasurable. Man, I tell you what, giving into the flesh, there's nothing like it. But it only lasts temporarily. One night of lust ain't worth a lifetime of misery. So if somebody's to tell you that sin isn't fun, they're lying. Because it is. But the after effects of sin is devastation. So now Moses had to make a choice. Am I going to allow my fellow Hebrew get beaten, or am I going to stand up for him? What did Moses do? See, if you know the story, you know what he did. But look what Hebrews says he did. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, he was hid for 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. They knew there was something more for him, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. See, they weren't afraid that Moses was going to be killed. They weren't afraid what the government said. They were going to do what's right. By faith, when he was come to years, speaking of Moses, when he had to make a choice, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. When he saw the beating taking place, he made a conscious decision right then and there I'm no longer an Egyptian. I'm actually a Hebrew. So what did he do? The Bible says that he killed that Egyptian. He slew him. And they took his body and he hid him in the sand. Now wait a minute, Brother Brian. You're telling me that God used a murderer? Was it murder what Moses did? Yes, it was. So you're telling me, Brother Brian, that in order to serve God, I've got to be a murderer. No, that's not what I'm saying. Was it wrong for Moses to murder? Yes, it was. But Moses had to make a decision. Do I continue to turn a blind eye to my people? Or do I say enough is enough? Could Moses have handled it differently? Of course he could have. But instead, he chose to do it his way, and he suffered for it later on. But he made a conscious decision. Let me ask you this morning, aren't you tired of living according to the way the world tells you to? Aren't you tired of feeding off the world's goods? You may be getting fat and happy now. You may be having pleasurable things for right now. But let me tell you, time's coming that you're going to have to pay for it. There's no such thing as free college. I'm not making a political statement. I'm just telling you the truth. Somebody's got to pay. There's no such thing as free welfare. Somebody's paying. You may think right now in this world system that you're living high on the hog and nobody's paying for it. Somebody's paying for it. And if you continue to live a way the world tells you to do, you're going to pay for it eventually. Well, Brother Brian, I got all these credit cards that I can charge all I want and everything else. But I've got 15 credit cards, Brother Brian. And then they've given me a $10,000 limit on every one of them. Man, I've got all this stuff I've got. Yes! Who's going to pay for that? Well, I'll declare bankruptcy. Well, somebody's got to pay. See, here's the problem. I'm not talking finances this morning. I'm talking this, spiritual things this morning. Parents, grandparents, look at me for a minute. Let me ask you a question. Is it more important to take care of your children and allow them to experience the things of the world and let them have the pleasures and let them live what they want to do and let them not want to go to church? Is that important to you? Well, I don't want them to hate me, Brother Brian. I don't want them to walk away from me. I don't want them to not like me. I want my children to love me. Well, yeah, I do too. But guess what? If my children love me and go to hell, what have I gained? I want my children to love me, and they're going to hate me sometimes. But I want my children to go to heaven, and I want my children to influence other people to go to heaven. Amen? See, Moses said, enough's enough. It says, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He dropped out his Egyptian heritage. He changed his clothes. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He made a decision. He said, enough's enough. I'm no longer an Egyptian. I'm really a Hebrew. Now, that's all introduction this morning. Here's the message, the title of it. Making a choice. Making a choice. Now, look at me just for a second, okay? Look at me. Who are you going to choose to follow today? Who are you going to choose? The great thing about our God, He gives us a free will. He lets us choose. But may I tell you, there's a problem with refusing him. Because eventually God says, enough's enough. I'll let you do what you want to do. Hold your finger here and go to Romans chapter 1 with me real quick. Let me show you something. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1, verse number 18. Paul's addressing the Romans, and he's answering some questions that they might have had coming in their mind, saying, Brother Brian, why is everybody so successful that's choosing to do wrong? Why is society so prevalent of wrongness and people are being successful, and I don't understand it? Well, Paul addresses that situation here in Romans chapter 1, verse number 18. He says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against some ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. All. Circle that word all. Nobody gets away with anything. Nobody gets away with anything. There's nothing hidden that won't be revealed. There's nothing. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they know what the right thing is to do, but they choose to do wrong. You are now accountable for what God's word says. Verse number 19. He says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. In other words, there is nobody that's without excuse. God has revealed himself to everybody. He has made himself known through nature. He's made himself known through the hole inside of us. He has made himself known. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Nobody will be able to say, I didn't know. That's what it says right here. Because that, verse number 21, that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. He says, listen, I'm making myself known to you. I'm revealing myself to you. You have to make a conscious decision. And it says, instead of following God, instead of believing in Christ, instead of seeking him, they choose other things. Now look at me for a minute. Is that describing you today? God has revealed himself to you over and over and over, regardless of your age, regardless of anything else about you. But let me ask you a question. What are you doing about it? Verse number 22. Verse 21, I'm sorry. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And what did they do with that? They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made to corruptible man. They made bird figures, they made four-footed beast figures, and they made creeping things figures. Idolatry. That's why God hates idolatry so much. People think that they can replace God with an image. People think they can replace God with a person. They think they can replace God with an object. Well, my pleasure comes from my vehicle, Brother Brian. My pleasure comes from my bank account, Brother Brian. My pleasure comes from my vacations, Brother Brian. My pleasure comes from, and you fill the blank in. That's where my happiness is. That's where I find my satisfaction. Brothers and sisters, what you're simply saying is this: you're committing idolatry. You're putting God second. and putting your pleasure first. And God says, hey, listen, I've told you the truth. I've revealed myself to you, but you're choosing the things of the world. And they say, wait a minute, Brother Brian, is it possible for a Christian to choose the things of the world and not God? Every single day. And I dare to say, we've all done it at one time or another. We've chosen the pleasures of sin instead of the things of God. Paul continues the conversation here. Here's what he says. Wherefore, because of this, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. They knew the truth, and they decided they didn't want it, and so they began to dishonor themselves amongst each other. Does that sound like 2019 in the United States of America? Does that sound like 2019 in Washington, D.C.? How about San Francisco? How about Denver, Colorado? How about Asheville, North Carolina? How about Bryson City, North Carolina? How about Victory Baptist Church? Well, wait a minute now, Brother Brian. You're hitting a little too close to home. You can be sitting here in the three-piece suit, shaved good, looking good, smelling good, your hair all combed once a week. You got a Bible, you got the right Bible. But inside, you're choosing the things of the world and not the things of God. And you know it, and the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, and you're saying, I don't care. I don't want it. I don't want it. So what does God do with this? He gives people a choice. They choose something else other than Him. So what does He do? Verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use that is which against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. In other words, what they chose to do was absolutely wrong, and the results of their wrong choice was very obvious. Now you say, wait a minute, Brother Brian, you're making comments about homosexuality. I'm not making any comments about homosexuality. The Bible's making comments about homosexuality. But you know what else it's also making comments about? Adultery, fornication, gossiping, lying, cheating on your taxes, hating each other, refusing to tell people about Jesus, laziness, overeating, destroying your body with chemicals. See, we like to point our fingers at other people's sin instead of pointing our fingers and saying, oh, woe is me, God, forgive me. You know, one of the great things about God is He lets us choose, but He gives us always the best option. Here's my Golden Corral illustration again. You go to the Golden Corral, and you got a choice. You can gorge yourself on all the carbs and all the meats, or you can choose the salads. All them fruits and vegetables. You can walk in there and say, you know what? I don't want the pleasures of carbs. I want the pleasures of fruit and vegetables today. And you can go and get all the fruits and vegetables, and you can enjoy it and say, and then load it down with carbs with salad dressing. Or you can go and gorge yourself on the carbs and what it does to you. You say, now, Brother Brian, that's a silly illustration. No, it's not, because here's the truth of the matter, Christian. Some of us choose to gorge ourselves on the carbs of the world. We allow ourselves to be filled up with the music of the world, the TV shows of the world, the atmosphere of the world, the friendships of the world, the ways of the world. And then we wonder, what in the world has happened? What in the world has happened to my family? What in the world has happened to my life? What in the world has happened to my church? What in the world has happened to my city? What in the world has happened to my country? Because we've gorged on the carbs of the world instead of the goodness of God. Moses had a choice. He could continue to thrive on the Egyptians and their teaching and their ways. Instead, he chose to identify himself with the Hebrew people. Verse number 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they didn't want to acknowledge him, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God said, fine, if that's what you want, have at it. And so they became filled with all unrighteousness. They became filled with fornication. They became filled with wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness. They became full of envy. They became full of murder and debate, and that's arguing, deceit, malignity, whisperers. They became full of backbiting. They became haters of God. They became despiteful. They became proud. They became boasters of inventors of evil things. They became disobedient to their parents. They became without understanding of the things of God. They became covenant breakers, promise breakers. They became without a natural affection. They started burning in their lust for their same sex. They became implacable. Nothing could satisfy them. They became unmerciful. Who? These people, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. Does that describe your life today? Did I just read off a vision and a description of your life today? Are you choosing this instead of choosing to serve Jesus Christ? See, George Beverly Shea had a decision to make when he saw that poem. He could continue to go the direction he was going to go. He had offers to use his talents for music to make all kinds of money. And his mom was praying and his mom was hoping that he would take that poem and it would take root in his heart. He picked up that poem and he read it and he wrote that song we just sang a few minutes ago. I'd rather have Jesus. And he said, Brother Brian, you're speaking to us in here. We love Jesus because we're here this morning. Well, that's good, and I'm glad. But I can't assume everybody loves Jesus in here. You can't assume that I love Jesus. But it's evidenced by the fruit of our lives, if we love Jesus or not. I'm not judging you. I love you. But brothers and sisters, enough is enough. Would you rather have Jesus or the things of this world? I am not a perfect man, and I'm not telling you that I don't have my faults and failures, because I do. But I'm telling this to you in public, and like I try to tell you every Sunday, I love Jesus Christ. And I want to serve Him with everything I've got. I have made a conscious decision to surrender my life to Him for whatever He wants. You ask a child, what do they want to do when they grow up? And they give you all kinds of answers. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the best answer anybody can say is, what are you going to do when you grow up? Whatever God wants me to do. But adults, look at me. What are you going to do when you grow up? Well, wait a minute, Brother Brian, I'm retired. Man, I'm in my 60s. I'm in my 70s. What do you mean when I grow up? What are you going to do with your next breath? What are you going to do with your next day? Well, Brother Brian, I'm past all that now. The only reason you have breath in your body and your lungs and your heart are working the way they should is because God's not done with you yet. You have to make a choice. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus. So what did Moses do? We know the story. He went in 40 years in the wilderness. He got banished from the kingdom. And then something wonderful happened. He met God. Came back. God used him to lead the children of Israel to the promised land. Well, Brother Brian, Moses was pretty old. Yeah, he was pretty old, 120, most likely. I said, Brother Brian, I'm 50 years old and I can barely get out of bed. How in the world did Moses do that? You know how Moses did it? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. God's not looking for perfection. God is not looking for you to have every I dotted and every T crossed. God is not looking for you to carry your Bible everywhere you go. I'm so holy. Don't touch me, it might rub off. That's not what God expects from us. He expects us to live for Him and obey Him on a daily basis. Treating people with love and treating each other with the way He would treat us. Showing the example of Christ to everywhere we go. Stop looking at porn. Stop listening to garbage. Stop watching garbage. Stop lying. Stop cheating. Stop stealing. Stop destroying your body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Stop it! That's what He expects. But let me ask you a question. Do you want the things of the world, or would you rather have Jesus? Terry, do me a favor. Would you put that first verse back up for me? Look at the words. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than to have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand. Look at the second verse. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name. You know what? I want you to forget everything I said today. That's okay, because you probably will. You've probably already done it. But don't forget what God has said. Don't forget it. One other verse. Philippians chapter 1. Turn there with me real quick if you would. Philippians chapter number 1. Verse number 21. Paul writes, he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you, he says. You need me to be here in the flesh. That's what God's got for me. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. And then chapter 3, verse number 8, and we'll close with this verse. Chapter 3, verse number 8, Paul wrote, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus. So let me ask you a question this morning. Who would you rather have today? The answer you give me means nothing. But the answer that you give to him means everything. You can tell me all day long, oh, I'd rather have Jesus, Brother Brian. Great. Live it. Not for my glory, but for his. What's your choice today? What's your choice? And I want to stand in front of you and say this. As for me and my house, we're going to choose the world. Gotcha. As for me and my house, we will choose the Lord. How about you? You say, now wait a minute, Brother Brian. I'm too deep in. I've gone too far. I can't do. You're not gone too far. You're not too deep in. There's U-turns allowed. Repent. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He'll forgive you. He'll clean you. And he'll put you right back on the right track. But you've got to choose that today. Let's all stand together. Some of you need to make that choice right now. Some of you need to leave your pew and hit the altar right now. I will pray with you if you want me to. If you want to pray by yourself, that's perfectly fine. But there's something about coming to an old-fashioned altar and surrendering to God and say, oh God, please, I surrender all. Some of you need to come right now. Just step right out and come. I'm going to pray, heads bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. But it's time for you to make your choice known. Well, Brother Brian, it's a choice that's between me and God. Well, that's true. But your choice is going to be obvious to everybody around. Who are you going to follow today? Heavenly Father, thank you that your mercy and grace is overwhelming. Thank you, God, that you forgive us for all our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father, that we don't have to perform anything. We just have to place our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But Lord, today some of us have done that before. But instead we're choosing to follow the things of the world and it's destroying us and we're wondering what's going on. Lord, there may be a precious soul that's following the things of the world and they've not even followed Jesus in truth. Only you know. And so I'm asking you, God, this morning, you do what needs to be done. There's people that need to hit the altar this morning, physically or literally. and say, God, I'm sorry. I want to come back to you. I'm tired of following the world. There's precious teenagers in this very room who have chosen to follow the things of the world and it's destroying them. May they instead follow you. There's parents, adults, grandparents that need to stop following the things of the world. Please, God, help us to be what you want us to be. In Christ's precious name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Here's the invitation time. Won't you come this morning? Come and pray.